The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey everyone, welcome again to another edition of the APC Podcast. This is Evan Tex Western coming to you live from Indianapolis for the fourth day of the Scouting Combine, at least as far as the media is concerned. Combine Saturday. This is usually probably one of the biggest days that we get here at the Combine. The quarterbacks, tight ends, wide receivers are all working out, and then we get all of the front seven draft prospects on the defensive side of the ball, so defensive linemen and linebackers. So it's a real busy day, a lot of things going on. And yeah, let's just dive right into it. So today, the workouts for the receivers and tight ends made a lot of noise, and there's a number of players at both positions that that really helped their draft stock. But start at the wide receiver position, probably nobody had a more impressive workout today than DJ Moore. He's a 6-foot receiver out of Maryland. One of the oddities about him is that he measured in at 6 feet flat here at the combine, but Maryland actually listed him at 5'11". You don't normally see the college listing a player shorter than he actually is. But at 6'2", he's got a real nice build. You could play him inside or outside. And he just lit it up today on the field. He had a great 40, 4.42 seconds, and then he went out and his explosiveness numbers were excellent. 39.5-inch vertical, 11-foot broad jump, and then he had a very good three-cone time under 7 seconds. I think he also put up one of the top two short shuttles at 4.07, so great day for Moore. He was kind of looked at as a day two prospect already anyway, so he will probably get a little bit of first-round buzz coming out of today. We'll see where he ends up going in the draft. Another DJ, Chark, out of LSU, also had a very good day. He had the best 40 time of any of the receivers. He ran that in 4.34, a very good time for him. And he had some good explosiveness as well, 40-inch vertical and a 10'9" broad jump. So that's some real good numbers for Chark. He's a little bit more of a skinnier, taller player, 6'3", 199. Is what he measured in at here in Indy. So Chark certainly helping himself. And then another player I mentioned yesterday in the interviews as far as the receivers go is Cortland Sutton from SMU. The comparisons to Jordy Nelson are kind of still racking up a little bit here because Sutton measured in 6'3", 218, which is right about on par with where Jordy Nelson came in. And then he ran his 40-yard dash in 4.54 seconds. That's just 0.03 off of Jordy Nelson's pace set back at the 2008 combine. He also actually had better agility numbers than Nelson did. He actually put up probably the best time of any receiver in the three cone drill with a 6.57, which is stunning for a guy his size, and then a good shuttle time. He took off a couple of tenths of a second off of Nelson's numbers in those drills, and he had some better numbers in the vertical as well. So good day for Cortland Sutton. I think any one of those three guys, if you ask me, if they're available at 45, could be in the mix for the Packers. The numbers are there. The play style would be interesting to see which way they decide to go. But I know a number of individuals have said that Moore is their choice. But again, Moore, Sutton, I think those are probably your top two. And then Chark is a possible, maybe a third round option or so. Moving over to the tight end position, for whatever reason, Penn State is just dominating the athletic drills here. After Saquon Barkley put up a terrific workout yesterday at the running back position, Mike Gesicki, the tight end for Penn State, was just unbelievable today from tight end. I had asked him yesterday if he had a goal for what he wanted to run in the 40 or what he wanted to jump in the vertical. And he wouldn't tell me what it was, saying that it would be more impressive if the number just came out without warning us what was coming. Well, he was absolutely right on that, because at 6'5.5 and 247, he ran a 4.54 in the 40, which is just unbelievable. 41-inch vertical, 10.9 broad jump, and he put up what would have been the sixth best cone time of a receiver with a 6.76, doing that at tight end at almost 250 pounds. So that is astounding. One of the best workouts we've ever seen from a tight end here at the Combine. So that's definitely something to keep in mind with Gesicki. And honestly, he may have vaulted himself into second round consideration, and you'll probably hear a little bit of buzz about him as a potential first round prospect as well. But certainly earning himself some money today is that Mike Gesicki. Another tight end to keep in mind, Hayden Hurst, also kind of looked at it as a day two prospect, one of those top five tight end prospects. He's the one who spent a couple years in minor league baseball before going to South Carolina for college football. Similar size, about an inch shorter than Gesicki, 6'4.5", about 250. He also had a good 40 time of 4.67, as well as a decent cone and some decent broad jump numbers. As far as the bench press goes, a couple of notable items there. Two defensive linemen, looks like, put up more than 40 reps. One was Vita Vie of Washington, big nose tackle, put up 41. And the other is Harrison Phillips from Stanford. Phillips put up 42. As far as the rest of the linebackers, the one actually notable linebacker, more notable for its kind of inspiring nature than anything else, was Shaquem Griffin. He's the one-handed linebacker from Central Florida, and with a prosthetic on his other hand, he was able to put up 20 reps on the bench press, which is astounding. He said that in his previous attempts of doing that, he had only been able to put up 11. So definitely looked at as a bit of an inspiring story to individuals with similar sort of disabilities to what he's got. He talked about that a little bit in his interview today, and just said that he's honored to be out there to be looked at as an inspiration, and hopes that he inspires kids or anyone with any sort of disability to push themselves and continue to strive for greatness. So with that, I'll get into the interviews a little bit. We'll kind of break it down by position, starting with some of the edge rushers, which came out first today. Marcus Davenport from UTSA definitely came off as smooth and comfortable behind the mic. Seems very confident in his abilities and his testing. Isn't too worried about coming out of a smaller school from UTSA, although he was asked about what it feels like to play for UTEP and if that gives him a chip on his shoulder. His response was great, because he just said that what really motivates me even more is when people say that I played at UTEP when I actually played at UTSA. Obviously, in-state rivals in the same conference, he took a little bit of offense to that. So Davenport, though, big guy, big frame, put on a lot of weight coming out of high school, and he's maintained that and had a pretty decent Senior Bowl week. So let's keep an eye on him, certainly as a possible first-round option for the Packers. Another couple of first-rounder options, Harold Landry from Boston College was talking at length about his bend and his ability to get around the edge. He's a little bit of a smaller player at about 6'2", 6'2.5", 250 pounds. So Davenport's got about 3 inches in height on him. But certainly Landry looking at being one of the earlier pass rushers taken off the board in this draft. Another one will be kind of in the same mold physically as Landry is Hercules Mataafa from Washington State. He's a fascinating story, because Washington State's depth at defensive line was so bad this past year that he ended up playing the second half of the season at defensive tackle at only about 255 pounds. So he's played everything from tackle to defensive end to playing an outside linebacker in a two-point stance. And so he was saying that he thinks that makes him the most versatile edge rusher in this particular draft class. Finally, Sam Hubbard from Ohio State, kind of a fringe first-round prospect, maybe a second-rounder. The book on him is kind of that he's an effort guy, and he's not necessarily going to wow with his athleticism, but he said that he expects to run well and test well tomorrow here at the Combine, and expects to put up some pretty good numbers there. Moving over to the interior defensive line, there were a couple of Since the Packers don't really have a strong need at defensive tackle, what I decided to do today was take a little longer look at a couple of interesting draft prospects, one with a very unique story and the other with a very strong Packers connection. The latter, that's Khalil McKenzie, who is the son of Reggie McKenzie, the former Packers executive, now general manager of the Oakland Raiders. And Khalil grew up in Green Bay with his dad being in Green Bay as part of the front office for a long period of time. We have a full video of his interview that we'll be posting to the APC Facebook page, and we'll get that up on the site. So make sure to get over to Acme Packing Company to check that interview out. That's about 15 minutes, and he gave some great stories about his memories from Super Bowl 45, getting to go out on the field when the Packers won that game to support his dad and the team and everything there. Worth noting that he played for Bryce Popp, former Packers linebacker, who was at least the head coach at Green Bay Southwest High School. He spent a couple years there before his dad took the GM job in Oakland, and he ended up playing high school football in California. So another the other prospect who is very interesting was Nathan Shepard from Fort Hays State. That's a Division II college, and Shepard's got a fascinating story. He really came out of nowhere this past season and started to build up a little bit of buzz towards the end of the season, and then went out to the Senior Bowl, got an invite there, and suddenly the buzz about him is huge because he put up some really good reps against Will Hernandez and a couple of the other interior linemen. As far as his projection in the NFL, he's probably a 5-tech defensive end. He's about 6'4", 310 pounds, so in that ideal size there, long arms as well. And he's getting buzz for, you know, potentially as early as the third round. But Fort Hays State is not a program that's known for their football prowess, at least not in terms of sending players to the NFL. In fact, the last Fort Hays player who was drafted in the NFL was a wide receiver named Frankie Neal. He was drafted in 1987, and interestingly enough, he went to the Green Bay Packers. So we'll have to see if Shepard ends up following in Neal's footsteps and coming to Green Bay. I did ask him if, because he grew up in Canada, and I'll get into his background in a second, but I did ask him if he would enjoy playing in a cold weather state like Green Bay, playing in Wisconsin, and he laughed about that and definitely said that he would be perfectly happy to stay in a cold weather area. But again, he's a Canadian player. He grew up in a suburb of the Toronto area, and he ended up starting out his collegiate career at Simon Fraser College, which is a small Canadian college in the province of British Columbia, but is one that actually participates in the NCAA system. So he was able to play American-style football rather than having to play the Canadian game, which is something that we learned last year when the Packers signed Jeff Gray, the guard out of Manitoba, the differences between playing Canadian football versus coming in and learning the American game can be a little bit of a challenge. But at Fraser, he was playing American football, ended up having to take a year or two off after leaving Simon Fraser for some issues as far as monetarily goes. So he just couldn't afford to continue going to school. And then a little later, he ended up getting on the radar about a year later for Fort Hays. He walked on there for a spring semester. By the time that semester was over, he got a scholarship for the following fall, and then played there for a couple years, and now is looking at being potentially a very appealing draft prospect, again, potentially somewhere in the third or fourth round range as an interior defensive lineman. Moving on from the line to the linebackers, the big draw for Wisconsin fans is the fact that the team has three linebackers in this year's draft class who all have a good chance of getting drafted. That's Jack Sitchie, the inside linebacker, who's coming off several injuries, and then a pair of outside linebacker prospects at Wisconsin, Garrett Dooley and Leon Jacobs, who started opposite each other on this year's defense for the Badgers. The impression that I'm getting, especially from buzz around here in Indy, is that Jacobs is going to be the most likely to get drafted and probably the most likely to get drafted highly because he is going to set the world on fire in workouts tomorrow. So keep an eye out for Leon Jacobs' numbers. But he put up a very impressive 26 reps on the bench press today, which Bested either of his two teammates and was one of the best numbers of any of the linebackers in attendance at the combine today. As far as Sitchie goes, he's coming off a torn ACL that happened this in one of the early practices in summer ball. So he said he's about 7 months into his recovery, and he's hoping that by about May, June time frame, so maybe during OTAs or minicamp, that he'll be cleared fully to return to football. And he also was very careful to note that the medical staffs at the Combine have all checked out his knee. Everything apparently looks good from what he was saying, that they've given him no indications that it should be holding him back moving forward. And so hopefully that Sitchie getting a fairly clean bill of health, at least as far as no permanent damage or no long-term concerns from the medical staffs here at Indianapolis. Hopefully that'll give NFL teams enough confidence to be willing to spend a late-round draft pick on him. And then Garrett Dooley is the other outside linebacker. He's a little more of an effort guy, production guy, so keep an eye on him during the workouts tomorrow. I don't know that he'll necessarily impress a ton in workouts, and that may end up causing him to slip. We'll see if he ends up getting drafted, but if he does not end up getting drafted, certainly you'll see him either sign a free agent contract or get a tryout invite with an NFL team at some point. One other linebacker of note for me today was Shaquem Griffin. Again, I mentioned him earlier. He's the UCF linebacker with just the one hand. And he was probably the funniest line of any of the interviews today was Griffin's. And he was talking about how his brother, Shaquille Griffin, was drafted last year as a cornerback, and how his brother was very calm and cool and collected when he took the phone call from the team, talking to the coach to tell him that they had drafted him. And Shaquem was saying that there's no way that he could possibly be that cool, that collected, and that he would be just completely losing his mind and would have to probably hand the phone over to his mom to talk to the coach to give her the good news. So he was a really interesting prospect. He's a really exciting player, and he's a really cool personality, just the kind of guy that you really want to root for, regardless of where he ends up in the NFL moving forward. So that's about it from today at the Combine. Keep an eye out tomorrow. Again, the defensive linemen and linebackers are going to work out. The defensive backs will be in the media room for interviews in the afternoon. So with the Packers certainly in the market for help at cornerback, possibly some help at safety, we'll be sure to get some interviews from those players as well. So as well, keep it posted on acmepackingcompany.com. We'll keep posting some of the interview videos. Again, keep an eye out for Khalil McKenzie as well as Nathan Shepard, the two defensive linemen. We'll post both of those interviews shortly. And make sure to keep an eye out on our social media pages for more interview clips and other content from the Combine as we wind down towards the final day of media availability on Sunday and then the last day of workouts for the defensive backs on Monday. So until tomorrow, signing off, this is Tex Western for the APC Podcast. Go Packers.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.